The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 14, verse 8 through 12. In Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lucanian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Amen. The author of the novel Interview with the Vampire is Anne Rice. She's loved by many as a best-selling author of gothic, erotic, and religious-themed books. Wikipedia, an internet encyclopedia, describes her as having sold nearly 100 million copies, making her one of the most widely read authors in modern history. What makes her more famous among Christians is because she renounced her dedication to her Christian faith. Anne Rice was born into a Catholic family and raised as a Catholic. However, when she turned 18 years old, she left the Catholic Church. After having spent 30 years as an atheist, she returned to the Catholic Church when she was 50 years old. After rediscovering her faith, she became interested in the life of Jesus Christ, the Lord, and wrote novels on the unknown childhood life of Jesus Christ. The book Christ the Lord has been translated into Korean as well. The same person who wrote such a book had renounced her faith officially. Anne Rice said, "My faith in Christ is central to my life. My conversion from a pessimistic atheist lost in a world I didn't understand to an optimistic believer in a universe created and sustained by a loving God is crucial to me. But following Christ does not mean following his followers. Christ is infinitely more important than Christianity and always will be." Jesus Christ and Christianity is reflected as two different things to Anne Rice. And that is why she chose to follow Christ, but not remain being a Christian. She rejected being a Christian in the name of Jesus, as described by Pastor Brian McLaren. In other words, she refused Christianity itself. The Christianity she had refused was the Catholic Church, which she had served and left. The Indian spiritual leader Gandhi told the Christians, "I don't reject your Christ. I love your Christ. It's just that so many of you Christians are so unlike your Christ that you believe." The Christians that Gandhi hated were mainly Christians he had met in England and India at the Anglican Church. In other words, Protestants. 우치무라 간조 of Japan, who is a Protestant, and Dr. Woo Kyung-un, a scholar from China, who was a Catholic, both said the same thing. It is impossible to believe in Jesus Christ if you look at the behaviors of the Christians. But it is impossible not to believe in the Lord if you look into the Bible. Why is that so? Why did the American author Anne Rice denounce her dedication in the Catholic Church while continuing to follow Jesus? Why did Gandhi of India like Jesus, but not the Protestant of England? Why did Uchimura Kanjo of Japan and Dr. Oh Kyung-un from China say that it is impossible to believe in Jesus Christ if you look at the behaviors of the Christians, but it is impossible not to believe in the Lord if you look into the Bible? The answers to all of the three questions above are the same. It is because regardless of being Protestant or Catholic, the life of Christian do not agree with the life of Jesus Christ in the Bible. The fact that the life of Christian do not agree with the life of Jesus Christ in the Bible teaches us that faith is something to be seen. Joy is an abstract noun. Abstract means that it does not have definite form and cannot be seen. However, that is a simple grammatical explanation and not true. Of course, we cannot see the word joy itself, an abstract noun, but we may see joy in existence. When someone is truly joyful, the joy is expressed outward and may be seen in any form. Therefore, the joy is to be seen. It is the same with faith. The word faith is an abstract noun, but faith is always seen. The reason why the American author Anne Rice had left the Catholic Church in despair was because she could not see the faith of the Catholic believers with her own eyes. The reason why Gandhi of India liked Jesus Christ, but not Christians, is also because he could not see the faith of Jesus towards God in the Bible or the faith of the English Protestants. The reason why Uchimura Kanjo of Japan or Dr. Oh Kyung-un from China said that it was not possible to believe in Christ by looking at the lives of clergy members and churchgoers is also because faith is visible to the eyes. Faith must be seen. That is the message given to us in today's scripture. After being expelled from Iconium, Apostle Paul went to Lystra, which lacked the Jewish synagogue because not many Jewish residents lived in the city. Thus, Apostle Paul preached on the outside in Lystra. That is how people who would have otherwise been unable to listen to the sermon of Paul were given the opportunity to encounter the gospel. Verse 8 describes one man as follows. While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He has been that way from birth, so he had never walked. This man was a congenital paralytic man who had never walked since birth. He was listening as Paul preached, and Paul noticed him and realized he had faith to be healed. If a person had never been able to stand up since birth, that person would be a byword for despair. However, Paul noticed him and realized that he had faith to be saved within him. Paul did not see a congenital paralytic man, but saw the faith in him. That was possible for Paul to see faith with his eyes. In the book of Matthew, chapter 8 describes the story of Jesus Christ meeting a Roman officer in Capernaum. The Roman officer came and pleaded that the Lord heal his young servant who was in bed, paralyzed and racked with pain. As Jesus was walking towards the officer's house, the Roman officer stops Jesus and says, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers." That was a great testimony of faith. But Jesus did not compliment the Roman officer and rather said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel." Jesus said that he had not seen such faith. The Greek verb heurisko means to meet or to discover. It is possible to meet or discover faith because it is visible. On the other hand, Jesus laments in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, "But When I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find faith? Jesus lamented that he will not be able to find faith when he returns. He did not say he will find a person with faith. He lamented that he will not be able to see and meet faith. That is because faith is always visible to the eyes. 8 weeks ago, I spoke to you about the essential elements of experience of faith, which were defined by 4 words by Joachim Walk, a religious scholar. The first is ultimacy. Experience of faith is a response by a man, a creature, which experiences the ultimate reality, in short, the Creator God, which is completely different from man. The second is totality. If the experience of faith is a response of a man who experiences God, such response is not partial, but is a total response that occurs in all areas of a man's life. The third is intensity. Experiencing God is the most intense experience among all experiences that a man can have. The last is action. An experience of faith in God is bound to become manifest in actions. If we were to sum these up in just a single phrase, it would be that true faith in one shape or another will express itself outwardly in any form. Therefore, faith cannot be failed to be seen. Chapter 10 of Luke tells us the story of the Good Samaritan that the Lord talked about. A traveler was on a secluded road and met a robber. He was robbed of everything and was abandoned on the road, bloodied all over. The three persons passed him by at different hours. We know what kind of faith these three men possessed. Because the three men showed us what their faith is. The first person to pass by was a priest, the next was a Levite. The priest and the Levite were responsible for overseeing the offerings of sacrifices and temple duties, the clergy in today's words. But despite that, they were not the people of true faith. By avoiding a bloodied man lying on a secluded road, devoid of people, they showed the genuineness of their faith, or lack thereof themselves. The last person to appear on the scene was a Samaritan, whom Jews regarded as being same as the animals because their blood was mixed with Gentiles. But he was a person of a genuine faith. He stopped on his path and approached the bloodied man lying on the road and took emergency measures by pouring wine on his wounds. And he put him on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and kept watch over him during the night. The next day, when the wounded man did not wake up, the Samaritan paid money to the innkeeper and asked him to take care of him, promising that he would pay any excess costs on his way back. By such actions, he showed the genuineness of his faith himself. Therefore, we have to acknowledge that the Samaritan, whom the Jews looked down upon, was the person of true faith. We can see his faith clearly with his eyes. Here, it is necessary for us to think about the ordinary daily life of the Samaritan. Would he have been someone who was normally selfish and self-righteous person who caused pain to those around him without even knowing it? If he was such a person, then his act of saving the bloodied man lying on the solitary road that day was a grand gesture of generosity. In this world, there are not few people who, although they live extremely selfishly, donate a large sum of money beyond anyone's imagination at an event or to an organization, or make a huge gift to another person who does not seem that important to him or entertain him lavishly. But the reason that Samaritan that Jesus spoke of cannot be such a person is because people who like to be magnanimous are those who enjoy praises for man, although he is not considerate of others and lives selfishly. To put it differently, such person does not act magnanimously when there is no praise to be had or when someone cannot be accompanied by praises. Today, 2,000 years later, we are all looking at each action of the Samaritan through chapter 10 of Luke. But 2,000 years ago, when the Samaritan was passing by that solitary road, there was only the Samaritan himself and a bloodied traveler who was lying unconsciously on the road. There was not a single person present other than them. No matter how much kindness the Samaritan wore to show the wounded traveler, there was not a single audience who would have praised him. Because the robbed man on the road was unconscious, he could not even get praise from the wounded man. Nevertheless, he did not avoid him like the priest and the Levite did, and did his best to show kindness to him. It was because he was the kind of person who ordinarily lived such way. Faith is not an emotion, but goodness. Because he was not someone who was generous when he felt like it, but was a person of true faith who lived according to God's words. In that continent, he took care of a blooded man at a solitary place, and we are able to confirm his genuine faith with our eyes through chapter 10 of Luke. Faith is not an abstract concept, but a reality that can be seen. Therefore, if we're just a bit close, we know everything. Who has genuine faith? Who lives according to his moods rather than his faith? Who lives as true Christians? Don't we know? This is because faith can be seen. In this way, if we are able to see the faith of others with our eyes, what is important is that the others also are able to look at each of our faith with their eyes. Although they are not saying, people around us are looking at us, our faith, with their eyes. What then? How do others regard each of our faith? If faith is something that can be seen, how would God right now regard our faith? If someone is more fervent in leading a life of faith than others, but if his life, which is selfish, only causes sufferings on others, if in the eyes of others, his faith is not viewed as genuine faith, what would be the fundamental reason? The current president of World Vision, Richard Stearns, introduced a story of his friend in his memoir, The Hole in Our Gospel. His friend, a seminary student, did an experiment with his classmates. They took turns reading the Bible from the Genesis to the Revelations and underlined each verse about the love that God has for man and God's justice. The underlined verses came to no less than 2,000 passages. Among the 66 books of the Bible, the Old Testament and New Testament together, there was not a single verse that did not talk about God's love for man and God's justice. Next, they cut out all of the underlined parts from the Bible with the scissor. They had cut out all passages in the Bible about love and justice. What remained were tattered pages full of holes. The reason that he did such an experiment was to show symbolically that today's Christians who only favor verses that suit them have tendency towards faith with holes that believe in the cutout Bible full of holes. Richard Stearns, who was moved by that story, titled his memoir The Hole in Our Gospel. It was meant as a repentance at having lived with the Bible with holes. And at the same time, a commitment from then to become a person who would live in pursuit of the whole Bible. The priest and the Levite passed by a bleeding man dying, not on a busy road frequently traveled by people, but on a solitary road. The Bibles of them must be full of holes. There were not people who did not know God. There were clerics who professed to serve God more than any other. But the reason that they passed by the wounded man despite that is because they had a Bible that they had put holes in. In the Bible with holes that they carried, there were no verse that would have made them feel responsible or duty in such circumstances. On the other hand, the reason that the Samaritan, whom the Jews looked down upon as being same as the animals, was able to care for the man dying on that solitary road, even though there was no single observer sending praise his way, was because his Bible did not have holes in it. It was the result of not putting holes in the Bible, as it felt like it, and having the whole of the Bible. and living only in pursuit of God's words in his daily life? If so, then we must ask what kind of Bible we happen to be carrying. Is your Bible full of holes? We must look back to see whether we are carrying a Bible in which we put holes in it here and there, or whether we are carrying the whole Bible without a hole. Wouldn't the reason that the novelist Anne Rice proclaimed that she would not remain a Catholic believer although she would follow Jesus Christ have been that the believers of Catholic Church carried Bible with holes? Wasn't the reason that Gandhi said that he liked Jesus Christ but didn't like the Protestant Church of England due to the fact that Anglican Protestants pursued after the Bible in which they had put holes? Isn't the reason that Uchi Murakanjo of Japan and Dr. Oh Kyung-un of China said that if we were to look only at the words and actions of Christian clergy and believers, we wouldn't be able to believe in the Lord due to the fact that the clergy and the believers of Japan and China had pursued the Bible that they had cut up according to their whims? Why have the Christians of this world, far from being the salt and the light of this world that saves and renews this world, become the objects of criticisms and censures? Isn't it because we had cut out all of the passages that are difficult for us to hear and causes discomfort from the Bible and are embarrassing the tattered Bible full of holes like some holy jar? If so, what is our alternative? Should we, like novelist Anne Rice, cut off all relationships with Christians and the church? No, we cannot. Christians, unlike Buddhists who avoid the world, are to live in the world, interacting with people every day as the pathway of the Lord, showing true Christians' beliefs. Dear brothers and sisters, let us repent our fault in having turned the Bible into tatters full of holes by only holding onto the verses that suit us. With the Bible full of holes, we cannot save ourselves, let alone the world. Let us throw away the Bible full of holes that we had made and pursue after the whole Bible, the whole of God's words. And thereby show our true faith to the world and to God. At that time, the God will renew this age through our lives and the people of the world will look at us and finally accept the gospel that we are passing on. Faith is not an abstract concept, but a reality that can be seen with our eyes. Let us pray. Father, all this while, I've regarded other people's faith my eyes. And so I even evaluated other people's faith as being a certain way. But I was ignorant of the fact that other people are also regarding my faith with their eyes, and in particular that God is also looking. Thank you for making me realize that Christians and the church have become the objects of severe criticisms and censure by the world, because most of all, I had failed to show genuine faith to the people of this world. And the reason for that is because I had pursued after the Bible that I had cut up as I wanted. God has said that not one word can be added or taken away from the Bible. But all this time, by holding only unto the words that suit my heart, desires, and selfishness, I cut off the rest of the words in the Bible and turned the words of God into tatters full of holes. And my faith that followed such Bible with holes also was a faith with holes. My faith that had become so close to the world through such holes could not be genuine faith, even in the eyes of the world. I repent my foolishness in thinking that despite that, I had faith. I pray that by the grace of God, the light of the Holy Spirit, and the words of Jesus Christ, all of the holes that I had made in the Bible will become filled. Allow us to become true Christians who show our true faith that wholly pursue after the whole Bible that the Lord has made whole again before the people of the world and to God. Help us to remember that faith is not an abstract concept, but a reality that is always seen with eyes. And thereby, may your will for this age become fulfilled through our lives and our genuine faith that can be seen in the eyes of the people of the world become the bridge that lead others to the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.